especially since I said we're going to talk about gratitude tonight. And so how many of you read the email? Never mind. I don't want to know. Okay, good. So I hope you looked up a couple of scriptures. This is going to be a little bit more. I've been doing a lot of teaching. I've probably been speaking about 90% of the time here on Wednesday evenings, and then asking you all to participate as well. But it's been a little bit lopsided that way, and it's by design. But I do want to get your input on some things, and I want to continue to give you the opportunity to share the things that you know. Our folks that are listening in at home tonight, I hope that you're not just sitting at home, you know, out of laziness. But if you are home and you can't make it in, then I certainly would. We want to make this available to you. But we're not able to take any questions or comments from home. This is going to be for in the room. We've been talking about managing emotions. Tonight's going to be a little bit more, I'm going to ask a little bit more of you, but we're talking about managing our emotions. And we're talking, last week we spoke about frustration, and we saw in the life of, well, we saw how God became frustrated with Moses, because Moses didn't want to do what God was asking him to do, and he kept making excuses, and we talked about how that kind of resonates in our world, right? I mean, we're frustrated by a lot of things in our world today. And but we saw how God responded. God didn't give up on Moses. But God brought somebody else in to help Moses. He brought in Aaron, and he helped Moses. And then we saw later how Moses became frustrated. But Moses did not respond well in his frustration, did he? We saw when we lash out while we're frustrated, when we post something because we're frustrated, we oftentimes will do some damage that we can't undo. Moses lost his opportunity to go into the promised land. Who can tell me why? Why did Moses lose his opportunity to go into the promised land and somebody else took him in instead? Who can tell me? Bill?
Second time he went, he was supposed to talk to the rock.
Yes. God said, speak to the rock and it'll bring forth water. And instead he took his staff and he struck it. He was angry and he was lashing out. And it cost him the promised land. And it was Joshua then that would take God's people into the promised land. And so what we learned was when we're frustrated, when we're angry, that's a terrible time to make decisions. That's a terrible time to speak. That's a terrible time to post. That's a terrible time to make vital decisions in life. And so that was kind of the thing we talked about last week. Now this week we're going to turn total different direction and we're going to talk about gratitude. But before we really dive into this, let me ask you a fundamental question. All right, we have sports fans. How many of you like sports? You're Buckeye fans, okay. And whatever sports you like, here's the question. We're going to use a sports illustration. Which is more important, offense or defense? Are you Buckeye fans? Which is more important? You want them to have a... Well, let me phrase it this way. Let me give you three options here. They can have your sports team, whatever it is, the Browns, the Buckeyes, whoever... They can have a great defense, an average offense, or they can have a great offense and an average defense, or they can simply be good at both. Which do you want? You want them to have a great defense? So you're in this camp that says defense wins championships, right? We hear that all the time. Who else? Offense or defense? Which is more important? You like them both? But if they're just good at both, are they going to win a championship? Just good, not great. Can a team that's good at both beat a team that's great at one? And average at another? Okay. Offense or defense? Talk to me, John. Defense first? Okay. So let me now change from... That kind of gets us into this thinking. You know, we think about... You think about these sports teams that have won Super Bowls, won national championships, and you try to figure out, is it their defense? Is it their offense? You know, a lot of times it really has been the case they were great at something. You know, a great defense, you know, overcame, or a great offense, but not always. So let's change the wording a little bit. And let me ask you this. So is it better or is it more important to be proactive or to be reactive? Who said that? That you, Harold? I thought that was your voice. What do you mean? Why do you think it's better to be proactive?
You sit around waiting for something to happen.
Okay. Nope, that's for sure. Okay, so you're already in the spiritual vein, and I'm just sort of being superficial right now. But you're right. Okay, so being proactive. So in other words, you know, is it more important to be out ahead of things, to be proactive, or to be really, really good at reacting? In other words, if you could be really, really good at one or the other, would you rather be the guy that can be so proactive he gets out ahead of everything, or the guy that when something happens, he can adjust, he can react, and he can make it all okay? Which one is more important, Doug? Okay, so that's what you are, but I ask you, which do you think is more important? Yeah, okay, you don't have a choice in your job. That's right. Yeah. Well, you could if you went around and flooded people's homes and set them on fire and then showed up the next day to fix it. Right. Okay, Robert?
I'll go with proactive because if you are good enough at being proactive, then there's no need to react, or very little need to react.
Okay. Okay. So, that being said then, anybody else want to weigh in? So now let me bring that to our topic for tonight then. So let's just talk about emotions in general. So does that work for emotions? Can you be proactive where our emotions are concerned? Are you sure? See, your gut says no, but can you? Is there a time when it would be good to... Okay, let's take some emotions. How about anger? Is anger always wrong? We talk about that. Anger's not always wrong, is it? Do you think there's a time when it would be good to be proactively angry? Can you think of an instance where you can think of and it's like, you know what? There's a time when we should actually bring anger into our spirit because there's an issue that needs that. Go ahead, Robert.
As a teacher, sometimes I find myself, and even as a parent, maybe I'm not as angry as I portray myself to be, but I'm trying to drive home a point.
Okay.
Maybe get someone to rattle their cage a little bit, and then in a sense, so they can see what it is I'm trying to get across to them.
As opposed to a reactive kind of anger, where one of those kids ticks you off and you just go off on them. Ben, please.
Speaking from some experience, if the Lord wants something done, it'll be done the way He wants it, whether you have any clue of what's coming or not. So if He wants her to be angry in a situation, it'll be put forth, it'll drive home His point.
So you're saying there's the Holy Spirit could actually bring anger up within you?
Not can, that, but if you're tied to
will. Him. Okay. Do you think that Jesus was angry when He cast out the money changers by reaction, or was He being proactive about that? In other words, did He choose that? Or did He simply react? Okay? You think He chose? Okay.
Bring the Holy Spirit out.
Absolutely.
People haven't really seen the Holy Spirit really come out.
Okay. I got you. And I agree. So he would like to see a revival of the Holy Spirit, you know, working and all that. But we're talking mainly about emotions, though, tonight, and being proactive with emotions. Because I want to move into, yeah, and I get that, but it's also, but we got to be careful about, there's a line between emotional response and spiritual response. So I get what you're saying. But I want to focus on this thing then of gratitude. So here's the issue for tonight, and here's what I really want to talk about tonight. Is it better to be, can we be proactively grateful? In other words, when we think about the term gratitude, most of the time when you say thank you, what has just happened? Somebody has done something for you. Somebody has given something to you. You know, somebody has, it's a reactionary gratitude, yes? But if we all agree that being proactive, or most people agree that being proactive is more important, is there a proactive way to be gratitude? In other words, shouldn't it be possible for it to be a lifestyle or a life attitude, a perspective on life? Rather than, in other words, I should not just be grateful when somebody, even God, has done something for me. I should be grateful all the time. Do you follow me? So that's what I want to talk about tonight as we get into that. So this concept of being proactive or reactive, I find it very interesting. There's a verse in Scripture that actually talks about somebody being both. It actually brings both of these concepts together. Let me share it with you. It's the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and verse number 3. And I want you to notice this. So here we have a proactive action, but then a defensive or a reactive kind of we have an offensive move and then a defensive move. Watch this. A prudent man, all right, the word prudent means what? It means a wise man, somebody who understands how things are, who is kind of forward thinking. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and does what? Hides himself. All right, do you see that? So he's looking forward. He's being proactive, watching what's going on. Kind of like when the Bible says to walk circumspectly. We're supposed to walk around our families, walk around our homes, walk around our lives, looking at things from all angles and making sure that evil's not on its way in. A prudent man foresees. He's looking forward and he sees the evil, and then he hides himself. Now, that doesn't mean he's a coward. That means he removes himself from that situation. You know, one of our Friday night recovering hope people trying to break the bondage of addiction. If they see a certain group of people gathering in a certain place, maybe they're living somewhere and there's a certain bunch of people coming over that night and they know what's going to be happening. They know they're going to be tempted. What's the best thing they can do? Get out of there. Hide themselves from that bad situation. So that's what he's saying. But the simple, they just pass on and are punished. Now notice, the simple, they either don't see the evil, they either can't see what's going on, or they can see it, but they're so dumb, they just go on. That's all of us sometimes. Can we just take a time out for a minute? I also, and it didn't occur to me until just now, I really believe this is where a lot of the world is right now. So simple, so unaware of what's happening. What's really happening? So unaware of the spiritual darkness that is covering the earth right now. People are, you know, it's crazy. People are still marrying and getting married and, you know, what's those things? Eating and drinking and being married. Isn't there scripture about that somewhere? Just like in the days of Noah. People are just going about their business. Like there's nothing wrong. Folks, there's a ton wrong. There are things happening every single day in America and in the world. There's very significant. It's not just, look, this is not Entertainment Tonight kind of stupid stuff about Hollywood. I'm talking about real life things going on, darkness taking over our governments, darkness taking over Christianity even in a lot of cases. And so on. So this is kind of where I see the world. So being more proactive, according to God, is what a prudent person does. Don't be simple. We can't be simple. All right, now, so we can't stay too long on that, but I just want us to see this verse because I think it's an amazing combination that God gave us there of these two concepts of being proactive, but at the same time, you know, the action taken is to remove yourself more defensively. Now, I believe then, as we talk about gratitude then, I believe that gratitude is the most important emotion that we have. That's my opinion. I can't prove that from Scripture. I think there's a ton of Scripture that does lend evidence to that. For me, I think if a person can be grateful, they're not going to have an issue with jealousy. Right? If we're grateful for what we have, jealousy's not going to be a problem. If we're grateful for the life that we have, anger's not going to be a problem. You know, covetousness is not going to be a problem. You know, some of these other emotions are going to get in line better if we, you know, if we're more grateful, if we live. You know, if we were grateful, we'd have no trouble praising God, would we? We'd have no trouble worshiping God if we were truly grateful. So I believe then that ingratitude, here's my opinion, I believe that if we look at the sins of the world, I believe they all come back to ingratitude. Why do people kill somebody? Why is there murder in the world? All right, let's go back to the beginning. Why did Cain kill Abel?
Jealousy.
Anger and jealousy. Anger, jealousy, envy. Well, if he'd been grateful for God, look, did God not give him a chance? Did God not say, hey, look, just do right. If you don't do right, sin lies at the door. But just do right. I'm giving you another chance. God gave Cain a second chance, didn't he? If Cain had been grateful for that second chance and had done what God wanted him to, he wouldn't have felt so much anger toward Abel and felt the need to kill him. You see, people kill people because they want something. Why do people steal? Why are there thieves in the world? Because they want something somebody else has instead of being grateful for what they have. If we were grateful for the country in which we lived in, the poem that I wrote on Sunday, that was the whole point. As rough as it is here in America, as bad, as many flaws as there are here, you tell me where you can go where it's this good. I'd like for a lot of people who can't seem to find any gratitude about America to go find another place to live. I'm serious. Because you don't have any idea what it's like for these little girls in a tribal village in Africa being butchered. This is monstrous stuff going on there. You know, this is terrible stuff that's happening in North Korea, you know, for anybody who speaks out. So as bad as it might be here, we would be grateful, we wouldn't have so many of these issues. All right, so let's get into some scripture here, and let me kind of back up what I've said about it. I believe that ingratitude is the root of all sin. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. So let's take a look at this. For the invisible things of him. Now what's the setting here? Paul is jumping right into some really tough issues with the church at Rome. All right, he is addressing basically the wickedness of the world. He is addressing their heathen culture. Okay, the Romans were in a heathen culture. They weren't following God. They weren't following Jesus Christ. They were a heathen culture, and so he jumped right on that. And he starts talking about all of the wickedness that comes from such a heathen culture. And here he says, for the invisible things of him, talking about God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So time out. So what he's saying is, everybody can see this world and know there is a God who created it. That's basically what he said. He said, it is not lost on anybody that there is a God out there, okay? That there's a God up there who made all of this. He said it's obvious. The things that he made are clearly seen, or he is clearly seen through the things that he made, so that they are without excuse. Now, watch verse 21. He said, because that, when they knew God, wait, who's the they? Who's the they? The heathens? Yeah, they could choose not to follow God, but it's all time, right? It's all people of all time. He said, even in the old days, they knew God. And these heathen, they know there's a God because they're looking at the creation that he made. You know, this was long before people were so smart that they knew to question whether or not there was a God that made all this. Okay? So when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So watch, that is step one. Does everybody see that? Step one. Satan, what's your plan? Step one. Go to the people who know God, get them to stop glorifying him as God. Get them to stop recognizing him as God. Get their schools to stop recognizing him as God. Get their educators to stop recognizing him as God. Get their important people, their beautiful people, all the people on TV. Get them to stop recognizing him. So that's step one. But notice, next thing. Neither were they what? Thankful. Neither were they thankful. You see, because if they were thankful, they would have had to glorify him. Folks, we all need to look at ourselves and realize, if I'm truly thankful, then I'm going to want to glorify God for the things I have. I mean, if I'm truly thankful for this life that he's given to me, I'm going to want people to look at my life and say, I like your God. Right? And unfortunately, we fail in that. He said they became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. All right, so what I wanted you to see there was that in fact, you tell me. So what does a lack of gratitude lead to? Look at it. Neither were thankful. What happened? What came of their knowing God, but step one, refusing to glorify Him, then they became unthankful. Robert, what that lead to?
Reactive
emotion. Ah. Vain in their imaginations. Pride. I did this. It's my house, my car, my money, my talents, my beautiful face. I didn't do what? I didn't make this face? No, I made this, though. All bought and paid for. Don't know a thing on it. Look, yeah, yeah, yeah. None of those things we did we? None of those things. We didn't grow the trees to make the wood to build my house. I talked about this months ago. The earth is whose? The Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. It's all His. We can put our names on it. You can put your name on the title. Good for you. I think that's what I love the most, Kelly, about that song you sang. You know, he begins with, you know, my name's on the deed, but it's not my land or not my ground or something. Some kind of hillbilly thing. I don't know what it was, but I had to get that in there. So it was a great song. It was a great song. But it's true, isn't it? It's true. It's sitting on His earth. It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. So they become reactionary. Their foolish heart was darkened. You notice how it leads to darkness and vanity and foolishness, according to this verse. So that's what happens when we stop being grateful. You know, a lack of gratitude for freedom gets translated in our world. And again, I'm not trying to necessarily rehash things from Sunday, but we had the flag standing here, right there. We put a light on it. Wasn't that beautiful? Didn't you love seeing our flag treated so well, with so much respect? So ingratitude about America gets translated into a disrespect by so many for the symbols of our country. Look at the disrespect just over a flag because it represents something. And ingratitude for our country, it causes it to be treated, you know, in terrible ways. Ingratitude for what we have is what makes us want more. I love our kids. Please know I love our kids. And we have some wonderful children around here. But have you noticed how much children want? American kids have so much. So much. And they're not capable of understanding how much they have. But what do you notice about them? They want more and more and more because that's built into this thing of ingratitude. The more we get, the more we want. That's a simple fact. And so we see this pattern that begins to develop, and it's all because we're not proactive about gratitude. I think you'll see that here in just a few minutes. So again, that's what Sunday was all about. You know, at America's best, it's still better than, I'm sorry, at America's worst, it's still better than North Korea's best. Right? It really is. So how then do we view gratitude? Can we view it from an offensive standpoint? Can we view it from a proactive standpoint? I think if we were honest, most of us would say, yeah, the only time I really feel grateful is like when I hear a great song like Doug sang on Sunday, or like Kelly sang on Sunday, or like Diane was. You know, when we hear this great music and it moves me to gratitude, or when something amazing happens in my life, when God gives me a new job, God gives me a raise, or my boss gives me a raise and we forget even to credit God with it, right? Usually it's because we're looking for something. It's usually only after we've gotten something. So how can we change that? Let me take you to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And I want you to notice Paul writing here to the church at Colossae. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So right there, what is he saying? Before we even get into the rest of it. When he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, what is he telling us? Okay, so... Okay. So first of all, he's saying there is a peace of God. There is a peace that God has. And he said, let it rule in your... Be grateful for what you have. You know, let it be what rules your heart. Can anybody tell me where do all of our emotions originate? In our, spiritually speaking, in our hearts, right? And we also know the Jeremiah told us that our hearts are liars, wicked beyond all, you know, and liars, that our heart is a liar. So it's really important. He said, you've really got to let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you're also called in one body. And then notice what he says. Oh, and by the way, be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Now, notice he didn't say be ye holy. He didn't say be ye spiritual. He didn't say get on your knees and pray. He didn't say, you know, read your Bible. He didn't say sing all the songs of God. He said be ye thankful, because thankfulness and gratitude is something that is going to be required. But notice, what did he not say about be thankful? What is not after the word thankful? Yeah, the word for. He didn't say be thankful for. He didn't say be thankful for your salvation, for your this, for that. Be thankful when God gives you something. He just said be ye thankful, and then what? Period. So, Paul apparently believes that we can be thankful without having anything specific to be thankful for. Somehow. So let's get it in context. We always read Scripture in context. Yes, let's go back to verse 14, see if there's something there. There's not. He said, above all these things, put on charity. He's talking about love, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's go after verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual. See, there's no mention here of anything we're supposed to be thankful for, right? Nothing before, nothing after. I mean, we can be thankful for these things, don't get me wrong. But when he said, be ye thankful, it was a stand-alone command. Be ye thankful. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But then he did come back to it in verse 17. Watch this. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, whatsoever, 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 that means everything, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and what? And giving thanks. Again, giving thanks for what? Does he say, is there anything? There's nothing in there where he says, give thanks for something, right? See, I feel like some of you you're trying to make sense of this and maybe trying to put this into practicality. That's what I want to do now. But I wanted us to see that most of the time when we were told to be thankful and be grateful in Scripture, it was not reactionary. God wanted us to be proactive. He said, I want you to be thankful, not just experience a moment of gratitude for the gift you just got. So how do we do that? How do we take a concept like gratitude and make it a state of mind rather than a reactionary emotion? Please? Think about it. Think about what? Think about being grateful. Okay. So proactive, that's what it means. It means to, on purpose, spend some time thinking about it. Now, we may initially have to think about the things we're grateful for, right? The people we're grateful for. But what Leah's saying is eventually that will become a self-sustaining attitude. What did you want to say, Dave?
1 Thessalonians 5:17. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you.
Wait, it says give thanks in all circumstances, even the bad ones. How do you do that? How do you do that? Dave, you've been homeless. You've experienced that in your life, right? You have experienced homelessness in your lifetime, haven't you? How could you give thanks in that? You know, there are a lot of people who go to bed in a very nice bed, nice soft Egyptian cotton sheets, that have a hard time being thankful. How can we make gratitude a state of mind rather than a reactionary moment? Robert?
You have to willingly find the positive things that are in your life. And it's a choice. It's a decision that each individual has.
And what would you say to the person who says, well, I don't have anything positive in my life? Well, yeah, but that error just keeps me alive to more misery. Look, trust me, I could do this all night because I hear this all the time. Seriously, there are some people that don't think they have anything positive in their lives. They don't think anything ever goes their way. They don't ever get a break. God doesn't do it. You know, I've got all these, you know, all these disadvantages. You know, I haven't been given a fair shake. I had this when I was a child and when I was a teenager and this and that happened to me and this happened to me and my life is this and I can't. That's pretty tough. That's a tough, tough person to deal with. It's really hard to talk somebody out of that kind of negativity. But that's an extreme case. Why aren't we grateful? Mauricio. You were born in Mexico, and now you're in America, so it makes you that much more grateful. I'm repeating so that the people at home can hear you. And I can vouch for that because I was there when you spoke those words after Maya died, that you were grateful. You were grateful that God took her home. And that in no way did any disservice to the sadness you felt that she died. See, you could be very, very upset and very sad that she died, and yet at the same time see the good that that God took Maya out of this world before she became a teenager, before she had a chance to walk away from him. Yes.
But God gave me a good example in my life right now because I shared it with you many times. The owner of my company is just an example.
Your employer. He's talking about his employer.
He's an example for everyone to this gentleman and just say thank you for everything the employee.
He speaks thank you to his employees in addition to paying them. A lot of employers would say, I pay them, that's thanks enough.
Even if you move one single, if you do something minimal, you just move a pen to another chair or to another table.
Okay, the little things. And I think that's kind of what Leah was getting at a minute ago when she said, you've got to constantly be thinking about that. You know, a lot of people don't even notice that. Yeah, and constantly be looking for things that are going on and thanking the people in our lives for that. And all those things will kind of tend to make us a little bit more positive. You know, it's kind of this way. Jesus was, I believe that Jesus felt like, well, let me just show you some scripture. So Jesus met 10 lepers one day, and he healed them. It kind of goes along with what you said, Mauricio. You coming from Mexico, you have a different view of America, a different kind of a gratitude than those who were fortunate enough to be born here. Hey, don't ever be proud that you were born here, Be proud to be an American, but don't be proud about being born here because you didn't have anything to do with it. Right? It's not an accomplishment to be born in America. It's a privilege to be born in America. But it's also one we ought to fight to hold on to. Now, so Jesus healed 10 lepers, and you probably remember the story. Nine, they all went to go show the priest, but one of them stopped. And he turned around. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Right? Can I show you which one it was? Verse 17 and 18. We'll also get to him. Or, sorry. Fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. Watch. He was a what? What do you know about the Samaritans? Nobody liked them. Well, the Samaritans liked the Samaritans. Who did not like the Samaritans? The Jews. The Jews. You see, the Samaritan didn't expect to have a Jewish man, a Jewish rabbi, heal him. But all the Jews were kind of accustomed to that. Now, that's not necessarily criticizing them, but I'm trying to make the point that sometimes it's the people who don't grow up with and don't get to live with somebody. Who are the least grateful Americans? Again, I know I've been talking a lot about that tonight, but this is our Independence Week, okay? So let me do this. Who are the most ungrateful Americans here? Probably the ones who've been born here. Probably the ones who've been born here. I guarantee you it's not the people who came from places where they were on the run and probably going to die if they stayed. They get here and they're grateful. So maybe part of our problem with God is maybe we've been saved too long. We're so accustomed to God doing so many things for us that we're not grateful. Like, I love the testimony of young Christians. You say, as a young Christian, this meant so much to me. As somebody, you know, we have a lot of young Christians around here. And boy, they were some of the happiest people on Sunday night in enjoying everything so much on Sunday. So some things to think about. How to be proactively grateful. I think that could change our whole outlook on life. Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate you. You could have been anywhere in the world. I know that. You